What wrote Sefer Rut? The Gemara says Sefer Rut was written by Shmuel, the Navi Shmuel. The Gemara says he wrote Sifro, his own Sefer. He wrote Sefer Shoftim, and he wrote Sefer Rut. That means Shmuel, and when we say that Sefer Shmuel was written by Shmuel, of course, only part of Sefer Shmuel until the point where he dies. And then it was picked up by Bell. So he wrote Shoftim, he wrote Shmuel, and he wrote Sefer Rut. There are many reasons that are given why he wrote Sefer Rut. Obviously, Sefer Rut is that which tells us the genealogy of David HaMelech, and who is the one that anointed David. The one who anointed David was Shmuel. But there was something very sad about that day that Shmuel anointed David. Because Shmuel saw Shaul, the first king of Israel, as his great creation. When God tells Shmuel that I'm going to tear the kingdom away from Shaul, it says, by Abel Shmuel mourned all night. Here it was his first great accomplishment of planning so. He is the one who has anointed Shaul to be king, and it fails. Shaul has the kingdom torn away from him. This is not only a failure of Shaul. Shmuel sees this as his own failure, and he's going to suffer pangs of remorse and regret his whole life. Whatever is left of his life after he anoints God. It's with great reluctance that he goes, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, take the oil of anointment and go to Beit Lechem, and you are going to anoint one of the children of Yishai to be king. It's with extreme difficulty that he does it. And really, he says, his response to God is, Eich Eilech, how can I go? V'shomer Shaul v'haraguni, and Shaul is going to hear that I've gone to anoint somebody else and he's going to kill me. It's a very fascinating passage that Shmuel says. It's a very fascinating request that he's got. We're going to talk about the angel and sending him. They think he's not going to take care of him. But more than that, I think that in God's response to Shmuel in those circumstances is even more fascinating. But what would you imagine God's response to be? I would love that. I'm going to pray with them. I'm going to be there. I'm going to take care of you. What are you worried about? But that's not God's response. God's response is, take a goat with you and tell them that you are coming in order to bring a sacrifice to that life. That's an amazing part. God gives him the cover story. I'm not going to say that it's a lie, because it's turning into the truth. It's sort of stretching the truth a little bit, because he's not really going in order to bring the sacrifice to Bethlehem. He's going to anoint the next king of the next king of Israel. But I've always said that that passage is extremely fascinating. I remember I talked about that during the course of the first Gulf War. So, you know, there are always the Chachon and you don't need gas masks, you don't need, talk about Gulf War One. You don't need anything. All you have to have is bitachon. Just that bitachon. So I said, take a look at this story over here. Dr. Levation tells Shmuel, just have bitachon. God himself says, yes, you're embarking upon something that can conceivably be dangerous. Take your gas mask in your hand. Make sure that you have a cheder atum bekayem, and that way you can go. I mean, there's an extremely important lesson that is learned from the idea that God tells Shmuel, nah, it will be alright. Have the talk and then it's okay. I'm going to be with you. Human being has to take steps to protect himself when there is a possibility of danger. You have to take real steps in order to protect yourself. And therefore, God is the one that gives him the cover and tells him, go ahead and take a goat, and you're going to go to bed. understand it in the existential sense. The pain shall I was the one who anointed Shmuel. And I am Shalom. And now you want me to go and anoint somebody else. Which is really the final indication that the first person who was ever anointed as the king of Israel has failed. And I see it as my own failure. Not only is it a failure, there was a love. The fact is that there was a love between Shmuel and Shaul. It says that after he anointed him by Yishakehu, he kissed him. And the story says in Chumash, when Moshe is on his way back to Mitzrayim in order to tell old Pharaoh, let my people go, and he meets Aaron, so it says that Aaron kissed Moshe. So the Sephora says, Ka'odom Hanoshe Sefer Torah, like a person who kisses the Sefer Torah. And the Kiddusha of Moshe was such that Aaron kissed him. Shmuel saw the greatness of Shaul, and Shaul, of course, had greatness. Otherwise, he would not have been chosen to be the first king of Israel. And he kissed him, and he kissed him. And here, this great love has now been dissipated. It's all gone. He's not going to be the king of Israel anymore. Anyway, Shmuel comes to Bethlehem, and it may very well be, because he's not really doing this because he wishes to do it. When the oldest son of Yishai is brought to Leo, he says, I'm Neged Hashem Yishicho, this is the one who is the anointed one of God. So God says, no. Lo Hashem Yireh Ha'ayim, not what man sees by with his eyes, because Hashem, God, sees into the heart of man. He's not the one. He goes through seven sons of Yishai, and none of them, God rejects all of them. And then it turns out, isn't there another one here? Oh, yeah, we forgot, you know. There's a little one, the youngest is out with the Shetzalah. So Shmuel gives the order, bring him to me. And of course, when he arrives, up on his brother tells him, this is the one. He anoints him, but he never kisses him. He kisses Shaul, but he doesn't kiss God. In a sense, one may say that Shmuel feels that he didn't treat David the way he should have been treated. And in a sense, he therefore writes this sefer as a dedicated to David in order to show him the love that he has for him. There may be another reason as well. And follow me through this Gemara. Follow me through this Gemara. You see, on this side where the Mishnah is, all we need is the first line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Amoni umo'ovi asudin, we sit on Yisur Olam, it's the Gemara in Yevamos. There's one sheet that is a Gemara in Yevamos, and it begins with a Mishnah that says that the males from Ammon, Ammon, are not permitted to enter the congregation of God. But the women of Ammon and Moab, Moabiyah and Ammoniyah, they are permitted into the congregation of God. Let's go to the Gemara. You see the first of the white lines, it says Gemara. I'm taking it from the Gemara. It may look formidable. It's not so formidable. Not really. The Gemara asks, how do we know that the prohibition against Ahogi Umo'ovi applies only to the males and not to the females? So Rabbi Yochanan says, oh my God, because the pasuk says the following. Let me give you the background to this pasuk. There's been a Philistine by the name of Goliath, who has for 40 days been announcing that he curses the people of God. can come out and do battle with it. Everybody's frightened and terrified until one day this fellow David comes to visit his brothers for the army, and he hears the Philistine, and he decides that he's going to go out and fight him. So they bring him to Shaul, who is the king. Now Shaul knows who David is because David has already been playing the harp for Shaul for a while, and it says that Shaul is the one who loves David. And then it says, the prophet says, when you know Shaul and David, God said in the background, when Shaul saw David going down toward the Philistine, Abner, starts of what he said to Abner, commander in chief of the armies. Then he said, Abner, whose son is this boy, Abner? By Omer Abner, and Abner says, hey, Nashif, Abner, I swear by your life, okay, King of Daddy, I know who he is. What's more fascinating is, when did David begin his march out to the valley toward Goliath? From the tent of Shaul. Shaul had finally agreed to let him go out, and he put his uniform and his sword and his spear and his armor, he puts it all on him, and David tries to walk with it, he can't do it. He takes it all off, and he says, I'm going out with my slingshot. And now as he goes out, Shaul turns to Abner and says, who's this boy? And Abner says, I swear, I don't know. So the Gemara asks, below your deal? He didn't know who he is? What are you talking about? For I think what it says earlier, by the way, we go. He loved Shaul, loved David, by he knows that he came, he was one who carried his armor. Asked Mark explains, you know what Shaul's asking about? Shaul is asking about his father. Ben me said, Amar, whose son is this lad? Who are called Mashal? He's asking about his father. So the Gemara rejects that answer as well. He didn't know who the father of God was. But it says about Ishai, the man in the days of Shaul was an elder who, wherever he went, there were crowds of people who went with him. Ishai was one of the outstanding personalities in Chrysler. He doesn't know that this is David Ben Ishai. What kind of conversation? It's a serious conversation that's taking place here. Rabbi said it at the Abba. Rav said, and some say it was Rabbi Abba who said, Zed Ishai, the man who went out with many men around him, was Ishai the father of David, Shenichnas, Mubusya, Yotso, Yehusya. He went out with many people, and he came in with many people. Now, great people don't go along, they have, today, television crews with him, and guards and fellows with things sticking in their ears. You don't move any place without being surrounded by all sorts of people. So now we have a problem. So we're back to our original question. What does it mean when Shaul asks Abner, who is this boy? So the Gemara says, oh, you know, Shaul. This is what Shaul said. I know who he's studying. What I want to know is, there were two children that you had, the twins that were born for Tamar, Perez and Zara. I want to know, is he from the family of Perez, or is he from the family of Zara? The difference is the following. If he's from the family of Perez, then there's royal blood coursing through his veins, and he is a candidate to be king. And therefore he may be ultimately the one who is going to take my place. Because Perez means to reach and break through. The Gemara says, Melech Poreis Lodere. A king can break through and do whatever he wants. Hachim Kama Shaul, this is what Shaul said. I want to know about this boy in the Perez Hossi. Does he come from Perez? In the Zerah Hossi. Or does he come from Zerah? In Perez Hossi. If he comes from Perez, Malkohoge, he's going to be a king. Sha'amelech Poreis Lodere. Because a king can break through to make a road. بعين محل يدك he can expropriate. بعين محل يدك الذي مستعجل. این سارا خلاصه اللي comes from the family of Sarah. خشيبه بعلم وحافي he's going to be a significant and important person but not as he does not pose a threat to me. Many times Amarle Sha'alale. Why does it occur to Shaul to tell Avner to ask about it? What is it that raises his curiosity? Why does he all of a sudden now want to know who he's come with? What family he comes from? So the Gemara said the thing because it said, a few seconds earlier it said that Shaul put his uniform on David and it fit him. Shaul was a shitbo vamaywa gavoni kolam. Shaul was very tall. David, I don't know why I always have the picture in my mind, and I know why I have it, of a slightly built lad, because we always have the picture of our minds of the big guys and little David with his slingshots. You know, David is always little. And Shaul was tall. So here this slightly built lad is the one who is able to fit into the priestly, the kingly robes of Shaul. Because it says by Yahweh, Shaul, the son of Marah, Shaul put on his marim, his uniform on Shaul, Ba'adavid, and putting it on means Kimidato, it fit him. What did they show? And it says about shoulder, he was Mishir, my Gamal, the Rabbi Kalam, from his shoulder, and above he was taller than everybody else. Now is the moment at which the conversation turns very, very bitter. Present there is Doeg Vadomi. Doeg Vadomi is one of the great warriors, the great knights of Shaul. The Gemara says also that Doeg Vadomi was a great Talmid Chacham, a member of the Sanhedrin. Amalei Doeg Vadomi said, Achar Chomashal Olam, while you're asking him, Hogan who the Malchut bin Lo'olam, whether he is fit to be king or not, you know what I suggest you do? Find out if he's Jewish. Sha'al of Eskabadian in royal law because if he was fit to come into the congregation of God in love. Not a question of whether David can be king or not. Is he Jewish? Why? Because he comes from Ruth Hamoraviyah. He comes from Ruth Hamoraviyah. Because my time, why? Because he Ruth Hamoraviyah, because he comes from Ruth Hamoraviyah. Amalei Avner. So Avner says, Tanaya, but we learn Ammoni below Moabit, Ammonit, Moabit below Moabit. The Torah says, an Ammoni and a Moabit may not come to the congregation of God. Which means the male, Ammoni below Ammonit, Moabit below Moabit. So the Torah says, oh wait a minute, it says a mamzer may not come into the congregation of God. Are you also going to say over there, a male mamzer, but not a female mamzer, mamzer below mamzer? Obviously, that's absolutely ridiculous. So the Gemara says, ketiv mumzar. Mamzer is not a generic term. It's not a noun. If it would be a noun, then it would be a male noun. Therefore, we could say Mamzer, but not Mamzer. It says Mamzer is a description. It's a tar, it's an adjective. Mumzor, he has the blemish of being a stranger. That term, that description, can apply to male and female, because it's not a noun. So then the Gemara asks, what about mitzvahs or mitzvahs? It says a mitzvah shall not come to the congregation of God in the same, but not a mitzvah. A female is not such a one. So it says, the Gemara says, shami habi. Here it's different. With regard to Ammoni and Moavi, it's different. Because the Torah clearly told us why Ammoni and Moavi are not permitted into the congregation of God. Shami Hockey here is different than the forest town of the club because the prophet gives us the reason. Why did we reject forever? Why did God reject forever? I want to know becoming part of the Jewish people. Because it says, the virus will keep with from the left of the mind. As you were going through the desert and you came near their coming, they didn't go out toward you with bread and water. Among the Moab came from Lot. Lot owed his very existence to Avraham. Lot is captured by the four kings who goes out on that great midnight ride. It's Avraham who risks his life in order to save Lot and his family. Why was Lot saved from Sodom while everybody else was destroyed? Because who saved the Avraham? The source of Avraham. Avraham and Moab lived because of the source of Avraham. The least that they could have done for their cousins who have been wandering now for 39 years in the desert. You don't have to come out with flowers, but they could have offered bread and water. And because of their ingratitude, they are rejected. So God is going to say, who is it that goes out toward a warring army? The males, not the females. That's not a woman's place to go out. Go out to meet a camp of warriors that are on their whales. It says they were rejected because Allah shall keep with them, Balechem, Bamani, Darko shall ish makadein, below Darko shall ish makadein. It's the way of the men to go out to meet a warring army, below Darko shall ish makadein. So then the Lord says, you know, so the men should have gone out toward the men, and the women should have gone out toward the women. So Amner and Ner remained silent before the intellectual onslaught of Doe Badomi. This is the conversation that was taking place in the presence of Shaul. So then Shaul asks, oh, by Yom HaMelech, the king says, Sha'alach HaKadim Yisra'elam, ask whose son is this boy? But the Gemara says, earlier he was called Nar, and here he's called Elam. Why is he called Elam now? So he says, because the word Elam also means something that's hidden and concealed. There's a halacha in it, Allah halacha. There is a halacha that has been forgotten. Say, Usha'al the Bet HaNefesh. Shaul says, go ask in the Bet HaNefesh, what's the halacha of Dov? Shaul, and they went and he asked, humbly, so they told him, Amoni Ula Amonit, Moavi Ula Moavit. Dov it. Next page, and then the next page, all we have to learn for. Dovid Ladovid still was not convinced, so Amosov Ben Yeter, one of the great heroes of the house of Shaul and then Dovid, he said, Malami Shakoka Harbo, you surely put on a sword like you should, and he said, Kom Yishayim Shomea Hawakazu, whoever does not hear this Hawaka, he dug her ahead of it, will be running through the sword. This is what I have received as the halacha from the Berdin of Shmuel. Amami lo amami, lo avi lo moav. That's all we need. What's taking place over here is that there was a halacha, and the halacha was given at Sinai. Most probably the halacha was not commonly known, because there were not many instances, or for that matter, there may not have been, most probably there had been no instances whatsoever of an Ammoni or a Moabi woman who came to become part of the Jewish people. So we're talking about a halacha that had not been relevant for probably 350 years. And it was not a halacha that stayed clearly in Torah. It was a halacha of Moshe Nisirah, it's called Moshe, it's part of the Torah Shabbat. It wasn't known. So here they raise this question in the presence of Shaul. Doeg is a bitter enemy of Doeg, a bitter enemy. And therefore he points to make sure we see here every day when people have enemies, what kind of service they can make, you know? We know this already. Unfortunately, it's the dark side of human nature. Though A is bitterly opposed to David, and he then wants to bring them back. David is not even, he's not even Jewish. What emerges from here is, who made this halacha known? The Klal Yisrael? We know the Beit of whom? Shmuel Barahati. Because he was the head of the Sanhedrin, Shmuel was the head of the Sanhedrin in his day. The entire corpus of all went over from one generation to the next through the Sanhedrin. So here the edict had to be issued, they had to teach Klal Yisrael halacha. And money is prohibited to come into the congregation of God in the lobby, but not the females. The Gemara later is going to say, indeed it's not the place of women to go out toward a warring army, and...
They're not accountable.
They're not accountable, yes, because first of all, the Gemara quotes a passage, called Kavuta Basmela Filima, which, you know, translating, you know, a woman's place is in the home, right? That's not too popular these days. But let's say that a woman's place is in the home when it's an only passing by. And then in Eretz Yisrael, they said, the Lord said in Eretz Yisrael, they said, you know where we know this? The Malachim come to Avram and they ask him, Ayei Sarah Shtetl, where is your wife Sarah? And he says, in Ava Ohel, she is in heaven. Yes. I can't hear.
Why would you not take it to the same
answer? Ah, that's exactly right. I'll tell you the question. That's the point exactly that I'm coming to. The point that I'm coming to is, do you know what this one halacha, what hangs in the balance on this one halacha? All the mountains being started. All the Jewish history. More than that. Ultimately, the salvation of the world depends on it, because Mashiach is going to come from David. I saw somebody once describe this cipher as a poetic form of a tshuva, the first responsa literature in Jewish history. A shayla was asked, so Shmuel could have written a response. הנה קיבלתי את מחקר ידידי הגוי והנעלה ששואל אותי who asked me such and such. הנה אם להודיע לך, I want to let you know that it's known from the person of Moshe Rabbeinu what I was there. Amoni lo amoni, malako lo amoni. Shmuel wanted to make sure that this halacha was so well established by Klal Yisrael. And the beauty of the background of David HaMelech, what his Bubba Ruth was, and in a sense he owed it to him, because he hadn't kissed him. The kiss of Shmuel HaMelech, the Shmuel Hanavi to David HaMelech, is in Sefer Ruth. Sefer Ruth. You can't miss the question you're asking, because the fact is, we know that Shmuel wrote a Sefer. So on. The question was, he had to write a Sefer, or he could have written it. The beauty and the power of Sefer Ruth is Shmuel's gift to a David, whom he may very well have anointed with some kind of a sense of unhappiness. He wants to make it up to David. He wants to show him his love for David. That's what he wants to show. So that this is the first response to literature in all Jewish history. What a beautiful way to write Jews. By the way, I can show you Jews that were written 1,000 years ago, that were written in poetry form. Would you ask about a Jew that was written by a Rishon in poetry form? Why does he give me all this poetry stuff? Let him just write it, I'll stumble. Huh?
Why would he let the Jews
Wat heeft dat met de first offense? Was written by a Navi. It was written by a Navi. That's number one. And number two, before Shahut took all the doors to the Moses and the food that's necessary for all generations became part of the Tanakh. We're talking about here about the legitimacy of Malchus Beisai, the legitimacy of Mashiach. I can't think of anything that might be more important to the Jewish people and the world than establishing that legitimacy. What's true? So we benefited with the beautiful Sefer. That's what we have. We had a beautiful Sefer. What a beautiful way to write a tshuva. What a beautiful way to write Halakha. You know, in the 9th and 10th century, Job was coming, we still have a great deal of it. That was a period of time, it was about 200 years, where we thought we still were writing lists of the 613 mitzvahs. Which ones do apply, which ones are considered mitzvahs, which are not, and there are all sorts of differences of opinion between the Rambam, the Ramban, the Sar, the Smart, the Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol, the Smart, Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol. And many of them, especially when you come to Shuras, you know how they wrote their lists? In poetry. Lines of poetry that give you all 613 mitzvahs. They have to learn the I mean, one of these days, I always say one of these days I'm going to teach it. There is piety to be said on Shabbos HaKadosh. The piety of Shabbos HaKadosh is absolutely amazing. All of the Chof Pesach in poetry, it's so gorgeous. How touching the soul in poetry, I'm saying. Yeah, well, Shkana Medavir al Shiva Hilchatit. Lo Shiva Shinatit. By the way, the truth is that you are right, too. There are halachas that we learn from Shiva's Moshe, Oslo Shiva Moshe. Zekeh Levandeh, Lekeh Ogaron Menu. We learn the halacha that you have to beautify a mitzvah. Adiyar Oran Hashem Adyam Ram Zukhariza. Yidusha Rishonah, Yidusha Shtila, Yoshua Endering Eretz Yisrael Ezra, Lechem Endering. They're learning poetry. Alright. So number one, Shmuel is the one who wrote the Sefer. Shmuel wrote the Sefer as a song of his love to David HaMelech. Because he knows that he had not anointed him with the same love that he had anointed Shaul. Alright, let's begin the Sefer by reading Shmuel HaShoftim. We will yet talk, of course, about why it's read on Shavuot, but by reading Shmuel HaShoftim, and it came the days when the judges judged by Yehudah, or as was the famine in the land, by the invitation of Bethlehem and Yehudah, and a man went from Bethlehem and Yehudah, but who would stay off to live in the fields of Moab, who would Yishdah, which they would have, he and his wife and his two sons. Hashem Elisha the Melech, the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Ishto, his wife's name was Naomi. Hashem Shnei Bonav, and the names of his two sons, Nachum and Chilion. Ephratim, the word Ephratim means either because they came from Ephrat, because the Torah says Ephratim Beit Lahem. Bethlehem had the name Ephrat as well, and they had come from Bethlehem, so they were Ephratims. God. Or the word Ephratim also means people of substance and significance and importance. So then these were important people from the Eklat of Yehuda, by the wrong state of Moab, and they came to the field of Moab by Yehim Shon and Eliezer. I wonder, why do they have to be too soon to tell us this story? When does the first passage tell us a man and his wife and two children left? And only the second passage have been told their identity. The first passage could have said, Elimelech and Naomi and Nachum and Kilion left Bethlehem and they went to save Moab. Wouldn't that have been said done? I have a feeling that the purpose of this coffin is to tell us not many people left Eretz Yisrael at the time of that great famine. For that matter, there was only one man who left. A man. One man. If the Pasuk would have told us the man immediately when they went, then maybe others went. No. There's a certain mystery that is created by the first Pasuk. A man, his wife, and his two sons. Who is the man? One man left, we just said. One man. Man's name is Elimelech, his wife is Naomi, two sons are Mahmoud and Hilo. I don't think so, what else does the Pasuk tell us? The Pasuk tells us that the one who initiated this all was Elimelech. His wife and children are the ones who will go along with him. It may very well be that there was serious disagreement in the house until Naomi agreed to go along with him. First of all, Hamoshe Nechamos is all that's women love her, so she wanted to leave Bethlehem. She didn't want to leave Bethlehem. If by the end of this chapter, after all those years and all the suffering, she's left without her husband, without her two children, with nothing, she still wants to go to Bethlehem, to a Bethlehem, that is not going to come out and welcome her with flowers when she returns. Because they remember that she betrayed them and she jumped ship at a moment of great crisis for Bethlehem. But Bethlehem for her was home. One thing that can be said in to mitigate a little bit the extent of what they did, the terrible thing that they did is throughout this Sefer, Moab is always going to be referred to as Sidei Moab, the field of Moab. And the only other significant location that is mentioned is Bethlehem. Sodeh, Bayit. Lechem is going to come. Sodeh and Bayit. There's a big difference between a field and a house. In a sense, what it's doing is leaving with us the impression that how good it is out, it's in Moab. Moab is a field. It's a place of a temporary nature for the Jew. The Bayit is Eretz Yisrael. That's no more than a field. Then you have to watch another progression that's taking place over here. They came. First of all, it says, a man went from Bethlehem, who the Lokur was saying Moab. Lokur was saying Moab means? Yeah. What did we say in the... what did we say in the Haggadah? Aram Yogadah Vikayin in Tzchaima. Vayogor Sham. Vayogor Sham. Melame. This comes to tell and teach us. Shalom Yorah Yaakov Avinu Ishtakeya. He didn't go down to Tzchaim in order to settle there. El Lagur. Lagur means to live there temporarily as a guest. Lagur bar is from the El Paro. We've come to live here temporarily. It begins, therefore, the first passage, it's Sidei Moab, which in itself already is of a temporary nature, and all that it says is Lagur b'Sidei Moab. So there's a double temporariness about it. By the end of the second passage, already time has a way of changing the frame of mind of a person. Vayavod, the end of the second passage says, Vayavod, Sidei Moab, they came to the field of Moab, Vayihu Sham, the Malbim says, they settled in and they plan to stay there. I don't know, I have a feeling that the process has not ended with Vayihu Sham. Vayihu Sham represents a change in their status. In other words, they're not tourists. Now they're, I don't know, is A1? temporary resident, from tourist to temporary resident. And I'll tell you why I say that. Because the next verse says, she and her two sons remained by Isulahem Noshim, and they took unto themselves Noshim Moabil, Moabite women, Shema Khan Orpa, the Shema Shahid Ruth, one was called Orpa, the other was called Ruth, Vayeshvu Shah. Vayeshvu, that I believe is the end of the process. From Logur in the first passage to Vayeshvu in the second passage. And by the fourth pasuk, it says, "Vayesh Yushan." Keres Hashem. Vayesh Yushan is. And what do we have in the Torah? Vayesh Yaakov be'edes migurei aviv. Yaakov lived in the land where his fathers were strangers. And as Rashi brings it, because Yaakov leishim v'shalva, Yaakov wanted to live in peace and tranquility. In other words, here it is. I'm home. Vayesh represents the complete opposite of Ger. What is it that Avram Avinu says to the children of Chay, the sons of Chay, when he wants to buy the Maras HaMakpelah? He says, Ger Betosha Anochi Amachem. I am a settler and a resident. I am a stranger and a resident. And Rashi explains, I'm a stranger, and if you want to be nice, you can sell me it. And if you're not going to be nice, then I want to tell you, I'm a resident. I'm a toshav over here. And therefore, I'm going to take it because God promised this land to me. So I believe that the process has taken place over these four psukim. They come with the intention of Gur, which is Taurus. Vahim Shum is what did you say, temporary resident. And by the time he comes to Vahim Shum, they live there. This is already a permanent resident. Vayamutu Gam Shneim, Makom Chilam, both of them died, Makom and Chilam, Vatishoy Rusha, Vishnei Lodero, Umeisha, and the woman remained from her two children and her husband. Nobody else is left. Why? Now, the pasuk seems to be telling us something that is so obvious, and the pasuk has been telling us the obvious thing all along. Obviously, if they both die, what do you think the result is? That she remains alone from her husband and her two children. And when it said it in pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Elimelech Ish Naomi, Vatishoer Hi Ushnei Manel. Why do we have to be told this? I mean, isn't that obvious? I wonder if it's possible to say that we, people probably in a certain sense have more experience with this than many other generations. It's also painful to be a survivor. The survivor asks the question and may be pained with the question a whole lifetime. Why me? It's not so simple being a survivor. We may not have understood that in generations before, but we certainly understand it now. And the Navi is very clear. The pain, there is great pain to the survivor, not only because of the loss, but for the fact that she survived. When it says that her husband died, so we know that she's in pain because her husband died. But it says that she showed it. Has it possibly occurred to her that these tragedies that are befalling her are the result of the fact that they left her soil at a time of crisis? Is it possible that she's thinking to herself, if I would have been stronger, if I would have said no, Elimelech, you want to go to Moab? Go to Moab yourself and send us a check once a month. No, I didn't say that. She's going to get very embarrassed. I can't help it. I'm going to say it. We came out of the year in 1982. anything that can go wrong went wrong. Lost my job, or worked out of my job, 5 teenage children. I was unemployed, walking the streets of Utah. Bought an apartment a couple on went bankrupt. I'm saying, okay, that's too bad. I'm getting close to my late 40s. Unemployed, I gave up a terrific job in the United States of America. Kidding me. Great job. Great community. Right? Great community. As I reported often, about a few years ago, says, Rabbi, since you left, the community doubled in size. I heard his song so often since I came to Arnold, it grew 100 times more. He says, no, Rabbi, I didn't mean that. You said the whole word. Well, certainly, when the top American Jewish organizations wanted me to be their candidate for this top job. And I said, yeah. And of course, I discussed it with my wife. So she says, it's a great idea. Everything's going wrong with your men. A friend of mine, I think it was about Kevin, who said, God, your luck is so bad. If you want to go on your return, take cancer on the flight. Just remember to send us a check once a month. So I called and I said, take my name out. And then a few months later, the Russian finally decided and had it okay. Gold had enough. Now we're just going to take the pressure off. And one thing started working out. The next thing started working out. It was extremely difficult, yes. Extremely difficult. And I know what the Sunni Al-Yamakhis are, and I can't help but keep my mouth shut when I meet people here a few months and say, how's everything going? It's great, it's perfect. And I think of myself, I mean, you don't know what's waiting for you yet. You don't know what's waiting for you. There's a certain dues that you have to pay in the book, that's the way it is. And when you go through the Sunni, then begins the process of Kenyan, you acquire Eretz Israel. But I found out something that I never knew then. There is the acquisition of Eretz Israel by the individual. Suffered for a number of years, and then sort of the pain begins to recede, this works out and the next works out. But there's a second Kenyan, there's a second acquisition of Eretz Yisrael that may be more painful than the first. Klal Yisrael's acquisition of Eretz Yisrael. As part of the Klal, we're not finished with those Yisroelim by a long shot. I'm afraid that those Yisroelim are going to be with us for a while to come. Because for Klal Yisrael to acquire Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't happen in 55 years. It doesn't happen in 155 years. I don't know how much longer it will take. The Virgin, of course, can do all sorts of things. You know, he has a number of tricks he has up his sleeve. You have about no idea. Things can, and I believe that things can change dramatically. Right now, how I feel this morning with the new Palestinian government. She's a survivor. That's the point that I want to make about Nam. Yes.
She has suffered nights, so immediately when she's
that she's living here. Yes.
But when Shirley Mellis decided to vote for him, he must have known that his kid's vote is going to simulate. He had to realize that. He didn't know because his son was to die.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. There's a great danger for them to go out and vote. They had a cheder over there. They had a yeshiva. What did they have? What did they have in law? He went along. It was all along. And we have no indication that he sent them to yeshiva in Bethlehem. There's no such indication. But the Gemara deals, in an old Gemara and Medrash deal, why were they punished? They're talking about the destruction of the family. The other destruction of the family. By the way, I think there's also something else that, as we learn in the first chapter, you have to keep in mind. We can go through this chapter feeling the pain of the mommy. There's absolutely no way in the world that she can know that her end, in a sense, is going to be absolutely glorious. She has no way of knowing that the Yeshua Hashem is going to come get her, and she's going to have a Sefer Tovah with children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren being raised on her lap. She has no idea that everything is going to change, and that everything is going to change because of this, quotation marks, Shiksa daughter-in-law. Because that's also going to be one of the issues that we have to deal with. Did they marry them, and did they convert before they married them, or did they convert afterwards? And this is a very big question. There are so many sources on both sides, and we will point them out as we get to them. The Malbim, for example, says, Pasuk Dalet, he proves that Pasuk Dalet means that they did not marry them with chuppah and kiddushin as Jewish women, because it says by Yitzula and Noshim. How does Torah talk about a man taking a woman? Ki Yikach ish isha. Vayikach is how Torah would have said, and Vayikach they took. Vayisu is a term that's used a number of times in Tanakh by some of the kings with regard to their concubines, which is an indication that married them, and they weren't, they had not undergone any kind of conversion. So that I say is a separate question that we have to deal with from a number of sources. Rashi is going to say it in Pasuk Yud-Bet. We haven't arrived in the Pasuk yet, but Rashi says very clearly, the official of Hyrule Markham Bhilam Kiddushin then. Markham Bhilam did not have Kiddushin. There was no real marriage. Shemot Yosholi, because they were Goyis, Bologna, and they were not converted. The Ashok in Bologna is Goyis. Rashi in the middle of the chapter says, now the process of chaos is as they are on their way with the army to Eretz Yisrael. Ashok in Bologna is Goyis. But then, of course, Rashi also points out, if you want to know a little bit more about Naomi, and the fact is, Chazal say her name was Naomi because her ways were pleasant. She was Noam. She was an Imam. So, let's go on with the Sukkim and we'll see how it all works in. Interesting passage. Why is this passage? That way, everyone looks up with interesting. So, come on, take me too seriously. If I said that passage, it's interesting. It goes to every passage. But talking to the Chalotah, that talking to the Seymour, she and her daughters-in-law arose, and she returned from the fields of Moab. She showed the Seymour, because she heard in the fields of Moab, she told Kala Shem and Amul and Gamay and the Memphis people, that Tethlehem led them to give them bread. Before we get back to the passage, I just want to go to the next passage. Well, what is going to this passage? Where is she now at the end of this passage? Really, where is she now? About say no. She returned where? She returned to Bethlehem from Selah. And the end of it just says she and her daughters got up and she went it back from the people. Well, where did you lend it back to? He went back home. The next lesson is starting everything over again. That takes in Amoko, Master Kaitas Salam. She went down to the place where she was. Ushesha Otero Ima and her two daughters in law are with her. That take back from Adela and they went on the road. You know what it means? Pasuk 6 is not describing what happened, but Pasuk 6 is describing what's going on in her mind. From Pasuk 7 and further, what will unfold before us is what she planned, what she thought about in her mind and her heart is now going to play itself out in the world of reality. In her mind, that talk on Eva Kalotel, she and her daughters-in-law get up, and the idea of that talk on,
they
went up to her, so very good, very good. Or, you know what we say, we know that in order to travel from one place to the next, you have to get up. But what does it mean by talk? That talk on means that in her mind, the way that Ezra must be learning, in her mind is Tukuma. She feels like she's being raised and uplifted. In her mind's eye already, she has returned to the field of love. In her mind's eye, she sees herself out of this place. Because she wants Tukuma, Ahareh Shoah Tukuma. He Ablakan Shoah Mishachit Shoma. She is a survivor. And now there's the Tukuma. She sees herself going to Seymour. Because in Seymour, she had heard. And what is it that she heard? She heard that God had remembered his people to give them bread. It rains in Chutzlars. So it rains in Chutzlars. So you get up in the morning. So it's going to be another dull, dreary day. It rains in our soil. The taxi driver will tell you the time. He said, God, what are you talking about? I felt that my aliyah was complete when I was happy on a rainy day. Again, she looks at what's happening in our soil. It's not that the famine is over, famine isn't stand over. Rain doesn't come down and stand rain. God is going to bring rain. God brings rain. And God gives bread in our son. If it's ours, it's not my name. Not my name at all. If God goes in the law, and one of his halachas sure for salvation said, rain in our soil is a direct communication from our coming from. Facts. Email. Straight motivation. So she doesn't simply hear that the famine is over. She hears that God has remembered his people to give life. In this passage, of course, it's fascinating. Where is she? In the fields of Moab. But where is Lechem? You know where Lechem is? There is a son, in Bethlehem. The fields of Moab, the corn may be as high as a grasshopper's eye. But Lechem is an Eretz Yisrael. Now watch. If this pasuk is what's going on in her mind, that's how the Ebenezer learned it. Now we begin with playing out in reality. Now we to take the steps. That takes in Hamakon Asher Hayikasha. I tell you, this phrase, every time I learn it again, there are certain phrases that command me. This phrase grabs me. How should it have been with me? What's this? She went out of the place where she was. Have you ever gone out of the place where you wasn't? in bij Jezus en Jacob, wie de Heer Shabbat beginnen gewoon. If he goes to the Quran, we knew that he was in Beersheba, so obviously he had to go out of Beersheba. He's fleeing from the forest God. He lives in Beersheba. He's not leaving any other place. The only place in the world he's leaving is Bethlehem. It's in Beersheba in order to go to the Quran. So Rashi did, the famous Rashi, Malami has come to teach us, Sheyitziyas Tzadik ben Hamakom, a Tzadik leaving the place. It makes an impression, because as long as the Tzadik is in the city, he is its beauty, he is its brilliance, he is its shine. The Tzadik leaves for a Zipa or a Hador Zoga. The precisely the same comment, and over there Rashi says, Eretz Yisrael Prayin Olamim, and here Prayin Olamim Rashi says, Hapeizin Anamakam, Lomam Emma. So Rashi is really asking the question that we've been asking, why does it say that she left the plains? If that was already said in the Pasuk before, in Pasuk 6. Lomam Emma, I mean, Prayin Olamim, I already said, Vatosha, we stay in Moab. Umay, that's from Tosha, where is she going to return from? In Lo Teizin Anamakam, Shah, Isa Shah. And no way, no way she's getting any place unless she leaves the place where she was. The Levangian comes to teach us, she says, Sabbath when I'm not home, that Sabbath leaves the place of the here Rashi is telling us for the first time what Naomi is. She's Sadekis. Yes, see, I started when I'm walking the Kedis. It's recognizable. But also Roshan, it makes an impression. Pomo Zimbo, Pomo Adoro, Pomo Shinko. The shine, the beauty, and the praise of the city goes with her. The Chaim, by Yezid Yaakov, be very sure. And I want to say something else. There's something else about this phrase. You know what else there is about this phrase? She doesn't even want to mention the name Moab anymore. Do you know what Moab now is? You understand Moab is the place where she was. She doesn't even want to think of the name Moab. The name Moab is simply ugly to her. And you see another thing. What was the And this may be the reason why I disagree with the Malvin and the great fear interpretation of that. The Malvin said, on that second verse, when it says they came to Moab by Yivshon, so the Malvin says by Yivshon means that they had finally settled in and became permanent residents. I see the opposite taking place over here. That pacing in Hamakom, she went out of the place. May very well be that for Naomi, it was never a place that she lived. The most that it ever was the place where she was. And therefore, the Vayishamar or Hayashamar does not indicate permanent presence, because she was never a permanent presence there. She may have physically been in that place, but that place was not in her. And this is the puzzle about Kaysay and Hamakom. And that place was nothing more than Hamakom. Because Hamakom, it wasn't a place that she looked at and said, oh, what a beautiful place. What a shameful place. Oh, it's so beautiful. It was Hamakom. It was a place. And it was a place where she was, not a place where she lived. She went to that place, Ushtecha Lutelumah, and two daughters in law with her. But they locked up their head and they went on the road, or should have let her to return to the land of Judah. Here is the beginning of the process, the way you're going back. At this point, we have to stop and consider why indeed was a family destroyed. What is the family destroyed? What was the idea? So in Chazal and in the Farshim, there are all sorts of reasons that are given. I'll tell you some of them. Then most probably about the people. Amazing is going to be what the Rambam, the Rambam says. Verse says the following. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korah says, it's a Gemara about the Bible, and there's a whole Why were they punished? It says, Shehoilem Levakishat Mimal Torah Mulo Pichu. They should have asked for mercy for their generation, and they didn't. They should have been installed for Father's work. Shemenan, and he brings a pasuk in Yishayahu, Bisa'akeh, when you cry out, Yatsiluch Tu Utsayah, you will be saved by the group, by the larger community. So that's what Yishayahu is saying, this way Chazal is better. That as long as you are connected to him, you are plugged in to Klal Yisrael, that's going to be salvation for you too. You have to feel connected. You have to be part of the tzibur. The Marashah, like the Mara says, Bizarkeh al tzoras ha-kibbutz v'harabim, when you cry out, you care about the fact that the community is suffering. Yatziluch min ha-shamayim. If you pray for the tzibur, heaven is going to save you. As the Gemara says, and the fact is, if you pray for somebody else, the whole man of Achila needs them to first. Because listen, as we were saying, a famine in Eretz Yisrael is not simply the result of, some kind of needy, or we, a logical vector that way. I feel no, 20 years later, you can't speak English anymore, probably. It's not simply a chance occurrence that there's a family, there's a chance of stealth ball, who knows how many years, that's the laws of the United States that are very dry and arid. A family in Eretz Yisrael is a direct message from the Lord. So why does the Moshe send such a message? Because it wants Jews to pray. So now they don't pray, they flee, they run away. So the Torah says they were punished because they shouldn't. They should have prayed. The Gemara expands on this, and Baruch Hashem says, this Moshe is so shrewd in the Tzar. When Israel is in pain, who pH out of mayhem, and one separates himself from the community. But in Shema Mahayashah, his two angels come, and they place their hands on his head, and they say, this person who separated himself from the community, let him not see the consolation of the community. They will see the Nechama, but he's not going to live to see it. The word says when the community is in pain, I'm going to go home, I'm going to eat and drink, the show I not see. I'm not drowned, it's not my problem. The Moses came, the word says terrible things about somebody who does that. Elimelech Machmonim Chidom, what portion may not see more. They separated themselves from Klal at a moment of great crisis, and therefore they were destined not to see the Nechama Tzibur. I need to remember what I'm going to say about Elimelech Machmonim Chidom. Do not apply to Naomi. Naomi remains talking people. She showed up, he stayed off. What did she hear him stay off? She talked to Hashem, and I'm old God with that in his people. She feels that there was a friend who lived in Chutz Lars, but we know that they are mamish connected to Eretz Yisrael. You have, of course, those who are not connected at all, they're not my friends. But we don't have anything in common. But I have friends in Chutz Lars that done before me, they know what's going on. They are living through the zone. And they get the news. And I'm talking to them from the phone downstairs from Eretz Yisrael. They're telling me what's going on at Eretz Yisrael. Listen to the news at 11 o'clock. You miss everything, I don't know. Maybe 12 o'clock news will find out that the strike is open. We should have such a strike. Next, the next. Exactly.
So how come you that it's called after rules and not time?
I like that. You know the thing? That the answer that I gave at the beginning of this year of why it's written is the answer to that question. Because Shmuel wants to tell all generations that Ruth is our good Yiddish Shemeinu. That's the real significance of the Megillah. To let us know that Ruth is Jewish and therefore David is kosher and Mashiach is kosher. Very good point. I like that. Yes. Less than reverent approach. But I'm saying too much right now.